listener production.
Before we start, there are some swear words in this episode. You may have noticed a pattern by now. Sorry about that.
Okay, I'm directly across from what I think is the apartment of the man who was possibly the suspect for being the mole.
I've spent the last 3 years tracking down the spy who betrayed Australia. I'd learned that there may have been more than one working for the Soviet Union's KGB. It's a mystery that I've obsessed over. Now I've got the names of four people. Three of them are dead, but the fourth, who I'm calling suspect number four, is alive. A living link to the story. I'd sent suspect number four a letter. I hadn't heard back. I've flown to Melbourne to try and meet him.
As you can probably tell from the fact that I can't string a sentence together, I'm feeling a little bit nervous. I'm not sure how he's going to react to me showing up, but this is kind of where the investigation's come to. So I've got to just go and try my luck.
I'm Joey Watson, and this is Secrets We Keep, Nest of Traitors. I have a knot in my stomach. I couldn't eat breakfast.
Hey, how you going?
Good, how are you?
Yeah, I'm okay.
I call my editor, Claire Weaver, to make a game plan.
I'd be better if I was in the apartment right now. But unfortunately, I don't have that success to report.
I was hoping I could get to suspect number four's front door, but the entrance to the building is locked.
I'm sorry, it's a bit muffled on this phone call, but is it an intercom? Is that how you're...
Yeah, that's right.
Intercom? Yeah, cool.
Yeah, it's an intercom with, camera. That's the thing, so we'll be able to see.
Oh, right, okay. That's a bit excited when they let you in. Yeah, right, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, cool. Well, look, fingers crossed. Let us know how it goes.
Okay.
Let us know if you need anything.
Thanks, Claire. I'll keep you updated. Bye.
It's up to me now. There's not much more Claire can do. Still, I sit on a bench over the road for another half an hour, stalling.
I've got some chocolate oat biscuits that look really, really yum. I'm tempted to maybe have a little nibble of one, but I shouldn't because it's important that I have something to give him. I don't want to show up at this guy's house empty-handed.
I'm rereading the documents I'm hopefully going to show suspect number four. I've got some extracts from a book written by a British politician turned mole hunter, Nigel West. That's where I got the names from. I'm running through the questions I want to ask. Were you a mole? Why is your name in this book? Do you like the biscuits I brought you? Eventually, I force myself to get up from the bench and walk over to the entrance.
Okay. Here we go. I don't even feel nervous anymore. I just really want to speak to this guy. Let's hope that this attempt works. Okay, now I'm nervous again. Oh, hello. I'm sorry to show up unannounced. My name's Joey Watson. I'm a journalist. I sent a letter.
Yes, I did receive your letter, Joey.
Oh, thank you. I'm very glad. I hope it didn't come with any stress or anything.
No stress at all. It's about o'clock.
Sorry?
I said no stress and no reply.
No reply, because I was just wondering whether you'd want to hear or see a little bit more. I brought some material. Are you sure? Because I've been doing...
Yes, I'm absolutely.
It's just I've been doing an investigation and you're sort of going to be in it.
I'm not going to be.
Well, you're going to be mentioned because I've...
Well, you can mention me as much as you like to get legal advice from
you. Okay, you're sure you don't...
Yes,
don't...
I'm absolutely.
Okay.
I immediately call Claire.
Hey.
Hey.
So I've just got around the corner now. And I said, well, you're going to be mentioned in it. And he said, well, that might very well be the way, but I suggest you get legal advice first.
Oh.
So I was like, oh, shit.
Well, well done, because it's nerve-wracking. I know it's super nerve-wracking doing that and having to hold your ground and argue back and you're in the moment. So well done.
Thanks, Claire. I'm just trying to think if there's anything else I should do now.
After speaking to Claire, I realized I hadn't eaten all day. So I went and had a giant bowl of pasta and tried to process what had gone down. The adrenaline had worn off and I felt defeated. After 3 years of searching, this living suspect wasn't going to talk to me. It was another brick wall. And the almost professionalism of his rejection made me wonder what he was possibly hiding. The next day, I wanted to talk to Nigel West again. It felt like I should update him.
Jerry Watson, good morning. Is all well with you?
All is well with me.
At the very least, I hoped he could give me a gold star for mole hunting.
I'm actually at a hotel room in Melbourne and I door stopped.
Well done.
After he didn't reply to a gentle letter that I had sent him, he, let's say, very assertively sent me away. Yes.
Well, generally speaking, these people fall into two categories, people who are very well aware that they were investigated, and occasionally you meet somebody who had absolutely no idea that they had been investigated.
Yes, well...
And it's a shock either way.
All I said was that I had some material that I wanted to show him, and that material was, of course, the pages of your book, as well as other evidence that I had collected from other people as well. But yes, unfortunately, he didn't want to... he didn't even want to find out more.
Well, generally, they're very interested to see the evidence against them, and once they've started reading, once you've got them hooked, then they're, in my experience, they're willing to discuss things.
Yes.
But it just does take... You need to provoke their inquisitiveness. They're always interested to know how things have been interpreted, that they've got a particular view of an event, let's say, and for somebody else to give a perspective on that same event, you know, that often intrigues them.
Yes.
And draws them in, I've found. But the trouble is you've got to get your foot through the door.
That's where I'd failed. I hadn't gotten in the door or even past the intercom.
Are you sure? Because I've been doing...
Maybe if I'd been a bit more confident or waited for him on the street so I'd see him in person, things could have gone differently. I was contemplating leaving my mole hunt here. I'd gone further than I thought I'd ever be able to. I had the name of a living suspect, despite all the secrecy and mystery that hangs over this story. I wondered if this was as far as I could go. But like so many times, when I thought I'd taken this investigation as far as I possibly could, I was pulled back in.
I think that you should prepare yourself. I think that next year, I think there'll be some really important, serious material that will become available.
Wow. About
the whole story, I think.
Including plural, potentially plural moles.
If there were more, I think that this will emerge next year. You could, I'm not sure it'd be a good idea for you to go to Moscow. You could pursue the case.
I should prepare myself for some really important, serious material? I was intrigued and confused and a bit skeptical. I was so stunned that I didn't even push West further. It felt like I was being given a tip-off and that I should just know what to do with it. I didn't.
Okay, have a wonderful day.
Okay, Joe. You too.
When I recorded this conversation, it was September 2023. So we're now living in next year. It's 2024. Which means if I take what Nigel West is saying, there's some really important, serious material coming soon. And the only other information that he gave me was that I probably shouldn't go to Moscow. Which made me think that this material was going to be coming out of Russia. I used that to try and find out more. I can't say how. Let's call it tradecraft. But Nigel West's lead eventually led me to a name, Lev Koshliakov. Lev Koshliakov was a senior KGB spy who lived in Canberra from the late 1970s to the mid-1980s. Koshliakov would know about recruiting moles in ASIO, and he might be able to confirm the names of the moles. I wondered if he had the important material West was alluding to. I searched on YouTube in Russian. It's one of the few Western social media sites that's not banned in Russia. I found a video of Koshliakov from last year. He's being interviewed on a podcast.
05 в Москве. Всем добрый день. Это канал Дилетант, и мы.
Koshliakov is talking about his time in Australia as a KGB spy. I've translated the interview into English. It actually sounds like he kind of liked Australia. In the interview, he says that Australia was important for the KGB to get information from its Five Eyes allies, including the UK, the US, Canada, and New Zealand.
В Австралии это было очень важно, потому что в рамках разведывательного сообщества англосаксонского существует.
Koshliakov also emphasizes that the KGB were successful in Australia. I took that to mean the KGB had successfully penetrated Australian intelligence, but he doesn't go into any more detail about what this actually entailed.
И это было, в общем-то, тоже важным источником для нас и, так скажем, успехом.
I started running more searches on Koshliakov, and I found his Facebook page. Not a VKontakte Russian Facebook page, a Western Mark Zuckerberg Facebook page. This is strange because Facebook is banned in Russia. There's a lot of photos of his dog Filia, a very beautiful golden retriever. She's wearing a dog jacket to help her through the Moscow winter. There's posts about family history. He writes about the memories of his grandmother and her silver spoon collection that had survived Russia's communist revolution. Koshliakov even writes about moles. In one post, he talks about how moles can be heroes for one country but traitors for the other. That betrayal and heroism are mixed. And in some of the posts, he's critical of Russian President Vladimir Putin, just subtly. If Koshliakov doesn't like Putin, maybe this is his motivation for releasing the important material that Nigel West told me to prepare for. I kept scrolling, and a few posts further down, I see the honey badger. Not a honey badger, the honey badger.
Holy Tamara, yeah, good.
Lev Koshliakov has shared a video of former Australian rugby union player and Bachelor contestant Nick Cummins on his Facebook. In the video, The honey badger sees a sheep in distress, caught up in a barbed wire fence.
Okay, so he's got his barbed wire here. He's got his horns caught behind the wire.
He twists the wire to free the sheep's head.
We'll try and get him over this fence safely.
And then lifts it over the fence and lets it free in the paddock.
One, two, three.
It's amazing and might be the most Australian video I've ever seen. And I can't believe I'm watching it on a former KGB spy's Facebook page. Maybe I was reading into it too much, but the honey badger video was the bat signal I needed to go after Koshliakov. If what Nigel West said about really important, serious material that might be coming out of Moscow is right, maybe Koshliakov was ready to talk about his time in Australia. The question was how to contact Koshliakov. A former KGB spy, criticizing Russia and talking about his time as a spy was bound to make him a target for Putin. I couldn't just send him a letter or a message on Facebook without it possibly being intercepted. So I made contact with someone I was sure would be able to give me some advice.
My name is John Cypher. I've worked at the CIA for 28 years in the clandestine service with a lot of time dealing with Russia and Russian issues.
John Cypher, yes, that's his real name, was a CIA spy who'd been stationed in Moscow in the 90s. I wondered if Cypher could give me some advice on how to contact Koshliakov without getting him killed.
But I'm wary of contacting him in this environment. And I just wondered, I mean, I know that's very specific, but I wondered if you had any thoughts or advice on that.
Well, people who are older and retired oftentimes can be great sources, and they provide information that can lead you to uncover moles or sources, even though they're no longer working. And so it's obviously, if he's putting this stuff publicly, he's putting himself sort of, you know, we see people get pushed out of windows and poisoned and all sorts of things. But if you can find a way to pass information or get out of the country or somebody like that or others can provide clues that can be really helpful.
Interesting you say find a way, because I was I was interested to know if you had any suggestions about...
Nowadays, I don't know, but Russians are used to living in a security state and they understand the dangers. And so oftentimes they are the ones that know the best way to securely share information. If someone like that has decided that's how they want to take revenge on Putin or somebody or whatever, you know, they can figure out a way to get information to people. But it's difficult to solicit it from them unless you're sort of in contact.
If you were me, you'd be looking for someone, a kind of middleman sort of situation.
Looking for a middleman or people to engage on some of the stuff he's doing, perhaps on social media, that will give him a hint that there's he's got certain followers in Australia or something that he can find a way to reach out to or something like that, because it's dicey business, that's for sure.
Yeah, okay, but it's not impossible.
No, we've been living off of it for a while.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, that's how we catch spies ourselves, is people like that. But, you know, it's hard. There's no straight line to figure these things out. It's often a twisty, turny, time-consuming, put together pieces from different sources kind of thing.
I needed to find a middleman to get in contact with Lev Koshliakov. I eventually found someone who agreed to help me get a message to him. They asked to remain anonymous and said they'd let me know if they heard anything from Koshliakov. Not long after I spoke to John Cypher, I got an unexpected call. It was a former ASIO spy. I'd first made contact with him over 2 years ago. He was one of the people who tried to talk me out of pursuing this story. Since then, he'd gone quiet. I've saved him in my phone as Wombat. If ASIO hacked my phone, they might think I'm friends with a lot of animals. They're just code names for spies. In this unexpected call with Wombat, I mention Nigel West. Wombat responds saying something like, West was propagating Russian disinformation in his book, and that I, as a result, was playing a part in a modern Russian disinformation campaign. I'd been warned about disinformation, how Russian intelligence could spread fake information to create confusion and mistrust in the West. spies would also try to spread disinformation within enemy spy agencies. I guess it would be possible that they could try to trick the enemy spy agency into thinking that they had a mole, even when they don't. Mole hunts can paralyze an intelligence agency. They take up resources. Everyone becomes a suspect. It would be in the KGB's interest to gaslight ASIO into thinking they'd been penetrated, even if they hadn't. Wombat made me wonder if 7 podcast episodes later, I'd fallen into some kind of KGB trap. Questions started swirling in my head. Had Nigel West lied about his triangulation of sources? Had this whole podcast been an exercise in Russian disinformation? Were the 5-star ratings on Apple Podcasts just Russian spies? My mum has left a 5-star review. Is she working for Russia? Okay, I didn't quite go as far as the last one, but I was faced with a serious dilemma. I needed more information. So I texted Wombat asking if we could meet. He doesn't text me back. Then, on a Monday morning, Wombat sends me an email.
Dear Joey, I received your recent text message again asking for a meeting to discuss the historic case involving the Russian penetration of ASIO. As I've stated before, I am unavailable to meet and discuss these matters given my nationally classified participation many, many years ago in investigating and resolving the penetration.
He then goes on to talk about disinformation.
Those particular allegations by Nigel are inaccurate and, unfortunately, have involved him recycling KGB disinformation or black propaganda that had been published by a Russian-controlled media agency and thereafter promoted and spread by several other persons. Please note, Nigel had no credible or verifiable source for those allegations.
There was an article from 2015 attached to the email. The article was from a news website owned by the Russian government. The heading is How the KGB Penetrated Australia's Premier Spy Agency During the Cold War. I think Wombat was trying to tell me that this article was the source for Nigel West's information about the mole hunt in Australia. The language is a bit dramatic. In one line it says, the Aussies were no match for the sheer brilliance of the Russians. So you can see whose side the article was on. When I read through it, the article didn't really have any of the details that I'd gotten from Nigel West. It definitely didn't name any suspected moles. The idea that this article had tricked Nigel West into recycling Russian disinformation? I didn't really buy it. There was more in Wombat's email.
The impacted families probably didn't initiate legal action against Nigel because the UK defamation laws make it particularly difficult for families to sue for defamatory assertions concerning deceased persons. However, anyone who names those persons in Australia might need to brace themselves to receive legal claims. Regards.
Legal claims. This sounds a bit like a threat. I didn't reply to Wombat's email straight away. I felt like I needed to consider this whole thing a little bit more. A few hours later, I had to do a double take at my phone. There was a new email in my inbox, in my email chain with Wombat, from an email address I hadn't seen before. GP Walsh. It's Gerard Walsh, the former Deputy Director General of ASIO, who'd overseen ASIO's mole hunt, the man I'd been trying to talk to for months now who'd missed out on my chocolate-coated cranberries.
Well, you couldn't be any clearer. Watson should get the message.
Watson should get the message? Gerard Walsh is talking about me.
Watson should get the message, but the history of his dealings indicates a certain slowness of wit. I dare say it will bring some respite. It would be nice to think he would include your message in his Christmas card to Nigel West, from whose direction I presume a profound silence continues. Warm regards, GPW.
This email didn't look like it was meant for me. It looked like Gerard Walsh, after ignoring my calls and messages for months, had been BCC'd into Wombat's original email, and then accidentally hit reply all. The whole Watson should get the message? What is going on? I couldn't know for sure. But this whole Nigel West disinformation thing started to look a bit like an attempt to steer me off the story, very late in my investigation. I started to wonder where the disinformation was really coming from. When I set out on this investigation, I thought this was about history, a mystery from a time before I was even born. But when I tried to piece things together, I encountered missing court documents.
And nothing was even close to the truth.
ASIO files that had been destroyed.
Why?
I don't know.
Who destroyed them?
I don't know.
Historic defence facilities that are still off limits.
No unauthorised entry. Around this point, trespassers will be prosecuted.
Government reports from half a century ago that are still redacted.
Now, I know a lot of things that it's my duty to keep sacred.
Resistance from spies who had been close to the mole hunt.
I am unavailable to meet and discuss these matters, given my nationally classified participation.
I'd even confronted the current Prime Minister about the findings of an investigation that the Australian government is still guarding 30 years later.
I'm not going to give you a guarantee for something that you have not raised with me, and I'm not sure what the national security implications are of that.
It's a Cold War story. But this, everything you've just heard, is all happening right now. And it's interesting to see what ASIO does want to talk about today and what information they choose to declassify for the public.
This politician sold out their country, party, former colleagues to advance the interests of a foreign regime.
Every year, the Director General of ASIO gives an annual threat assessment where he talks about the threats to Australia.
We detected and disrupted a major spy network.
In recent years, the attention is back on foreign spies trying to turn Australians into traitors.
I've previously revealed how we removed a nest of spies. I refer to this latest case as the hive of spies because it was bigger and more dangerous than the nest.
When it comes to traitors in its own ranks, however, ASIO is pretty much silent, even after all these years have passed. The accidental email from Gerard Walsh wasn't the only email in my inbox that made me double-take that day. I'd almost forgotten about Lev Koshliakov, the retired KGB spy who shared a video of the honey badger on his Facebook page. I'd tried to approach him through a middleman. I hadn't heard anything for weeks.
So, Claire?
Yes.
Now I have an email from Lev Koshliakov himself.
What does it say?
Dear Joey, thank you for your interest. 40 years since I left Australia. I remember this period of my life with nostalgia. I am pretty old now, follow politics from my home chair, and finally, I'm very ill. So I have to decline your request. Sorry. Best regards.
Shame.
Yeah. I still think that he might be the big thing. I still think he might be working on something. I don't know.
But because the other way of looking at what he's just said or what you've just read from that email is that you're at the end of your life, you're getting old now. It's also an opportunity to talk about it because you've got nothing to lose.
Yeah, although he does have a lot to lose because especially now it's incredibly difficult to be an opposition figure in Putin's Russia.
Of course, right, yeah.
And
but
so,
by talking to you, do you think that would
potentially
put him in danger? Yeah, okay.
I mean, that's my kind of concern. And I sort of thought, oh, you know, do I push it further? Like, he actually did make contact with me, which is amazing. The fact that I've got an email from him now and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know. It's so sensitive. And I guess I'm wary of being like, I'm sitting here in this very comfortable environment and he's become a kind of outspoken critic, even in subtle ways, in Moscow today. It's like hard to imagine being in that security environment where everything is so tense and
volatile
and people who dissent are actually killed or put in prison or
yeah
yeah
I spent some time thinking about whether or not I should write back to Lev Kostyakov. I was half hoping he'd reach out again, give me some sort of sign that would tell me he really wants to talk. Then I get a text message from a source overseas. It's just three words. Lev died today. With Lev Kostyakov dead, I wondered what would happen to the important material that Nigel West had talked about. If I would ever be able to see it, or if it even existed at all. This mystery is full of unresolved questions. And when people die, sometimes their secrets are buried forever.
Okay, so Joey, Lev's dead. Does this spell the end of your investigation?
No. Yes. Oh! Is it the end of my investigation? I think there are answers out there. And I think that with time, no matter how much people want this episode covered up and forgotten, I think it's inevitable that things are going to emerge. And when they do emerge, I'll be ready for them.
So it's an open investigation?
It's an open investigation. You never know when the next clue is going to come, when the next information is going to come, when the next source is going to appear. So, yes, it's still going.
This is the final episode. I'm going to leave the story here, for now at least. While the Cold War seems further and further away, we're living in a new age of espionage. Now with smartphones, the internet, and sus-looking LinkedIn pages. This is what ASIO is working against today. And enemy spies are still targeting Australia, looking for moles.
Oh, hang on. Oh my God, this is so weird.
Who is it?
It's my high school theatre sports coach.
Theatre sports, like acting?
Like, yeah, but it's weird because he used to work at ASIO.
Your high school theatre sports coach used to work at ASIO?
Yeah, hang on. Hello?
If you've enjoyed the series, don't forget to tell your friends, your family, your next door neighbour who you've always had a sneaking suspicion might have been a spy but you're not 100% sure. Please tell them to listen. The more people that hear the series, the more pressure it puts on the government to give answers. And hopefully, more people have a nice time listening to this podcast that we made. Oh, and don't forget, we've got a YouTube series called Nest of Traitors Declassified, where my editor Claire Weaver and I talk about each episode. Secrets We Keep, Nest of Traitors, is created by me, Joey Watson. Our supervising producer is Jake Morecambe. Executive producer Ellen Leibeater. Sound design by Niall Fernandez. Bonnie Lavelle did the fact-checking and Matt Nikolic made the theme song. Dan Mullins played Wombat and Dave Hughes played the role of Gerard Walsh. Sarah Boll and Chris Spiru are part of the SCA digital team. Claire Weaver is Listener's Investigations Editor. Legal advice and support from Nicole Bishop at SCA with assistance from Justin Quill and the team at Thompson Gear. Listener's Head of News and Information is Melanie Withnell. Grant Tothill is the Commissioning Editor and Executive Head of Listener Podcasts. Thanks also to the Listener Newsroom team, the HIT and Triple M News teams, and the SCA PR and Marketing teams for their help. This podcast was made on Gadigal and Wurundjeri land, and I'd like to pay respects to Elders past and present. If you want another investigative listen, there's a whole other season of Secrets We Keep in your feed. Shame, Lies and Family, hosted by Amelia Oberhart, looking at a different Australian secret. I won't give away too much. It starts with a hidden photo of Amelia's own mum and uncovers a dark chapter in Australian history. Anyway, that's enough for me. Thanks for listening.